It's here and now, and we've been wondering, how's Tyson Belanger doing? You may have heard of what he's doing. It's pretty incredible. He went to Yale, then Harvard for his PhD. In between, he served 3 tours in Iraq as a Marine, which in itself is pretty interesting. But then in 2016, he bought and moved next door to the family-run nursing home in Bristol, Connecticut. Okay. Then on March 22nd, early on in the pandemic, he moved his entire staff onto the grounds of the nursing home to live in RVs so that they wouldn't bring the coronavirus into the facility, and so far, they haven't. There's not one case in a state where 194 out of 216 facilities have had COVID cases, accounting for nearly half the deaths in that state. But this has come at a personal cost, about $500,000 of Tyson's own money. And Tyson Belanger joins us now from the Shady Oaks home in beautiful Bristol, Connecticut. Tyson, you pledged 2 months. I think you're over 2 months at this point. Not a single case?
Not a single case. Not so far.
When you came up with this, what did you see?
For me, it was all about Kirkland. It was just a nightmare. My heart is broken even just thinking about, you know, what had happened out there. The Life Care Center of Washington, the coronavirus that got in there, and the dozens of people who passed and the struggle that they went through was an alert. It was an alert all across the country. Everyone knew it was coming our way. It was coming to senior homes. And we all began to mobilize. And one of the things that we did in early March was we shut down for visitors. And that was heartbreaking enough just to tell family members that they wouldn't be able to come by to, you know, speak with their wives, their mothers, their aunts, and it was just really rough. And then our next step was to have a checkpoint to screen the staff medically as they arrived for work. I stood that checkpoint, and it reminded me a bit of my time in the Marines, and it was really frustrating and very difficult. I didn't know exactly what to be looking for. We kept hearing about asymptomatic issues and how COVID might be able to transmit without any signs of ill health, and even if that was just 5%, 10%, and now we know it's so much more. So it was this moment of like, we've got to stop. We've got to rethink all this. We've got to come up with something better. And so we jumped. We jumped as quick as we could to bubble up.
No kidding. You brought RVs into the parking lot. Your family had been in this business for 44 years when you bought it. Both of your grandparents had been in the home. This sounds like it became personal for you.
Oh, it is. And each day here, even now, I walk the home and I look in the eyes of my residents and tears come to me. And I can't imagine a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now, and COVID's still going to be here in the senior homes. It's still going to be a threat. What it's going to be like if they get it. And I've got to do everything. I've got to do everything I can to save them and to find a safe way forward for our residents and caregivers.
Well, but this is pretty extreme. I mean, you ask your staff to move into these RVs. They have families of their own. Did they agree?
Well, there's no doubt that this is hardship. A volunteer assignment. We had 48 staff members, and I asked 17 to come in. And, of course, the first thing is their mothers, their daughters, their sisters. Mm-hmm. They have all these relationships at home, and they're going to miss out on so much by being away for the 2 months. That's the first. And then the next is, whoa, the number of hours of work to cover an entire week. So they're doing 60 to 80 hours a week of work. It's really hard. And then, as we've learned, it's not easy to move in with your coworkers for 2 months. And it's just not an easy project. But we all feel so good about the decision. We feel like we've really made a difference. And in our hometown, 4 out of 5 nursing homes have COVID. And one of them has over 28 deaths. And we just know that we made the right decision for our home, for our residents, and for our caregivers. And to make it worthwhile and to show appreciation, I've paid them large bonuses to our CNAs and to our nurses. I pay our CNAs and general staff $15,000 a month, and I pay our licensed nurses $20,000 a month.
Oh, wow.
When we first got started with this, we really didn't know that we would have any assistance. We didn't know that we'd be able to, I was just drawing from my own savings. And it looked pretty bleak, but I just kept believing that, you know, there might be something up ahead that I wouldn't be able to see. And the immediate thing is to save lives. I had to save lives, had to save our home, and tried to reach a time of better testing and try to reach a better time of better equipment. So as the time went by, the payroll protection program opened up to us, and that's been a big help.
I'm imagining that $300,000 in PPP protections enables you to pay some of those people not only who are coming in, but who said they couldn't?
Yes. All of our furloughed staff were paying in full according to their average hours before we bubbled up.
Oh,
and so we're able to take care of our community. And the idea behind that is that sooner or later, we're going to have to open back up. And when we do, we want to make sure everybody was well taken care of. And then beyond the payroll protection program, my mom helped out. She made a large donation. And we've had very kind souls go to our website and make small donations. And I think we're going to be okay. I'm still short a couple hundred thousand, but for the feeling of knowing that we saved lives, we saved our residents, we saved our caregivers. Some of our caregivers, I learned about them having health troubles that I had no idea before. If they get coronavirus, that they'll be susceptible to a serious illness. So I have no regrets. The thing that I've been trying for and I've been struggling for is I really want to share this idea. And this is why, Robin, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to speak with you today. This can't be just about my home. It's got to be about all caregivers, about all senior homes. We really need to see this as a public good.
Well, you say also it's something the government should contribute to. You've suggested that if Connecticut, for instance, pays $25,000 per week in matching payroll funds to all of its 365 nursing homes and assisted living centers for just 6 weeks, it would cost taxpayers $55 million. Now, a lot of people are going to say, wait, what? $55 million, that's a lot of money. You say what?
Well, at the federal level, they're talking about trillions. And then if it's compared to what happens when coronavirus comes into a home, homes end up paying quite a bit anyways as hazard pay. And the human costs of such suffering and the amount of personal protective equipment that they go through, there's not that much of a difference in cost between what we've done here and what some of the homes have had to do. But of course, there's a human advantage to what we've done is we don't have any sick people here.
Yeah. The other huge costs are if residents go from the nursing home to the hospital, and then we're talking about ventilators and ICUs, and then now suddenly it would cost so
Medicare
much more.
Medicare costs of an ICU visit? Like, what is that? If there was a drug that we could pay for, that we could save 60% on the fatality rate from COVID, we would have done it. Why not do the human solution? If we had done that, oh, wow, what a savings of human life we would have had. And if they wanted to, they could just boil it all the way down to just calling it a pilot project. Let's have 10 homes. Let's see what it's like.
Tyson, we know that there's a nurse there that can possibly break away from this incredibly hard work to speak with us, Faith.
Well, hold on one moment.
Hi, Robin. It's Faith.
Faith, thank you so much. I am hearing how overwhelmed you guys are and how much work you're doing there. But I just... what's it been like to live on the site of the nursing home?
It hasn't always been easy. We're here 24/7 and just being unable to go home and be with family, I think that's everyone's biggest obstacle.
Do you have kids? Or?
Oh, yeah. They're grown, but I do have an elderly mom that I do help take care of at home. So that's my biggest concern. But my husband's there, so he helps out.
What a sacrifice on your part. And I thank you on behalf of, but I mean, in a funny way, maybe you're protecting your mom too by really isolating yourself.
That is correct. Because otherwise, who knows what I'd be bringing home? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. How would you describe, I mean, we've heard it's tough. What's the toughest?
The hardest obstacle. It's just everybody's personality.
Yeah.
You're with them all the time. They're now our family. So we see true colors.
Well, welcome to the world. Many people are right.
That's correct.
A lot of people going through. But what's the upside? We know that you're being paid a little bit extra, but some people would say no amount of money in the world would make them move into work. So what is the upside for you? What's been the reward?
The whole movement of trying to show that it can be done by bubbling up and all working together as a close team and protecting our elderly.
Yeah, that's got to be so rewarding.
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
It's a good feeling. I'm going to let you go back to it because I don't want to keep you away from it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Faith. Robin, I'm back.
Yeah, so Tyson, I'm thinking... I'm trying to think of that day when you gather the staff and say, okay, we can all go home and I'm going to actually start going out a bit. I'm just wondering how hard that's going to be for you all, given people who are looking to you through those eyes you say you look into, looking to you to protect them, that might be hard.
It is. I take it very, very seriously. I live here at the home. This is what I do. I speak with strong conviction that we have a way forward. And I just want this idea out there. If there's another home somewhere across the country, and I'm aware of one outside Atlanta, I'm aware of one outside Columbus, Ohio, and I applaud them for doing this idea of on-site caregiving. People should be aware that this is an option, at least to bridge, to patch through the surge, and then get to the other side.
Yeah. Tyson Belanger at the Shady Oaks Nursing Care Facility in Bristol, Connecticut. Tyson, will link listeners up with you at herenow.org, but thank you so much for speaking with us.
Robin, it was my pleasure, and thank you for this opportunity. Thank you.
Just something. We also spoke with Nurse Faith Broker. We'll link you to pictures of the RVs she and others live in at herenow.org.